regret comes across a person's life. Regularly, regret comes into a person's life. That if a person wastes a chance or he wastes a big opportunity, then he has regret upon that, on missing out, on losing the opportunity. And the person who's missed an opportunity, oh, if only I had done this, this wouldn't have happened. If only I had done this, and if I had not done this, and then regret. Sometimes it takes a person very far that mentally he becomes mad. He loses out mentally. Oh, it's my fault. It's due to me. Why did I do this? Etc. But this is nothing. The real regret will be at that time when our kitab will be closed and it will be the time for the hereafter. At that time when a person sees that if only, yaar, I wasted my time. My gosh, Allah Ta'ala gave me breaths that were counted with a limit, and this is how I lived my life, this is how I wasted my time, this is how I was enjoying life, so called. And there will be also those people who totally tried completely, they prayed the salah, kept the fast, and did hajj and recited Quran, and they will also be regretting that. My friend, I thought I was a good person all round, complete, and I had done a lot of good deeds, but even those people will be regretting. So today we shouldn't think, we should at least try to consider ourselves amongst those who don't regret, isn't it? Because it's not impossible. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Because we are able to do everything, isn't it, in the world for the sake of the world. Look, all that, what hard work have we not carried out in this world for the sake of this stomach? The hardest work we've done is that our villages, our cities, we've left our mothers and fathers, our parents, and left and come and sat here. Can there be something harder than this? That wherever you're born, where you've grown up, the house you were living in, to leave that? And then to make big sacrifices? Because life is about give and take. Lots of giving. And can we think that my mother gave birth to me, my father, they are there and I'm here? And I don't get a chance in years to go and see their blessed faces, to go and press their feet, to serve them, to take some love from them. That, why are we doing such actions that take us far from our parents and blood relatives? A person when he's on his own, he thinks, I used to go here and there and meet people I knew. So this is an example I'm giving to you, that a human being, he'll do a lot of big actions in the world. So is this difficult, the work that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the duty that we should carry out such actions here and now in the world so that we don't regret tomorrow and the hereafter? So if Allah Ta'ala has given us actions, opportunities that we can implement, then why do we become cowards and give up for the hereafter? Will we do this, brothers? Will we prepare for the hereafter? True promise, I will tell you such an action that if inshallah you understand my words, then in the hereafter we will not be amongst those who regret. Inshallah, subhanallah. Remember this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us great mercy via the blessings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we don't have certain limit acts of worship with limits. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has given us an open, vast playing field. It's not just Ramadan or the days of Hajj that are coming, or the nights of Laylatul Qadr, or just masjids. No, Allah Ta'ala has given us a great and strong connection, so much love and karam and fadl and raham and mercy due to this connection, that Allah Ta'ala wants that amongst all of the people in the world, Allah Ta'ala wants us to become famous, mumtaz. Allah says that every ghulam and follower of the Prophet ﷺ, he should stand in the hereafter, every mu'min prepared for the hereafter, for Jannah, for paradise. So it's obvious that this will occur. Allah Ta'ala says that when this qawm, the followers of the Prophet ﷺ, come, that there should be no blots on their books of deeds, rather they should easily, fully, completely get the reward. Say subhanallah. Say it louder. I couldn't enjoy how you said subhanAllah. Say it again. So Allah Ta'ala's karam, His grace upon us. Allah Ta'ala said, okay, go. Due to the sadqa of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every action of yours is ibadah. So what else is left? Everything of yours is ibadah. Is it? Is it? How can that be? Look, I'll give you a small example. Allah said that every action of yours is a worship action. So for example, is there anybody walking around in the marketplace naked? No. No. That everybody has a need of something. What is that? Everyone in the world, there somebody will put on a vest, whatever. Even if it's a torn vest, we'll wear that. Then the underwear, we'll wear the kurta, the shirt, the kameez, the shalwar, the tahmad, the dhoti. We wear this, don't we? Yes, there's nobody who without the clothes will come out into the streets. And how many times a day we take off the clothes, put them on, take the clothes off, put them on. We don't. So have we ever thought that this is such a big ibadah, cloth, wearing the clothes that we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine how great an action this is. Allah Ta'ala has given us this ibadah. That what a great ibadah Allah has given. That you cannot walk around naked. You have to wear clothes. You have a need, a requirement. Okay, I'll make this ibadah for you. Worship for you. Subhanallah. So what? How is this ibadah? How is this worship? Allahu Akbar. There's a hadith in the Sunan Abu Dawood. And our eyes will come open, wide open. In the Akhirah will say, Allah, this was also ibadah. Such great worship. Allah Ta'ala said that I never left you without a second without ibadah. Allah Ta'ala said, I announced beforehand in the Quran, I announced that you are the ajib, unique nation from the earth. I will create a nation who will be the followers of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ajib, unique qawm. But you haven't recognized yourself, you haven't appreciated who you are. That just a few things you were running after in the world and you didn't realize what you were, who you were, what you could have become. So Allah has given us this ibadah. And from today we need to make this as ibadah, my brothers. Yes, this is a great ibadah, great worship action. We don't know, is our tahajjud accepted? Will our Ramadan be accepted? This is Allah's rahmah, mercy that will allow that, isn't it? Laylatul Qadr, is it accepted? Dhikr we're sitting, is it accepted or not? Everything is based on Allah's rahmah. But Allah Ta'ala says, the ibadah that I will give to you, that is accepted beyond accepted, subhanallah. Guaranteed, and you will definitely get the thawab. Definitely, you will get the thawab for this ibadah, this action. Look, brothers, that everything of ours, what we do in the day, wearing clothes, also is ibadah. Worship, how? Because clothes we have to use, we have to put them on, we have to wear them, we have to adorn them. Allah Ta'ala has given us clothes, we have to wear them. You can't go naked to praise Allah. Allah Ta'ala says that when you are wearing clothes, then make that action worship, make your qamiz. Worship action, make your shalwar ibadah, worship. How? It stated the ibadah can become like this, that when you put your clothes on, wear them in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear his clothes. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So what will this become? This will become ibadah, such an ibadah, such worship, that the companions, they were also subhanallah surprised. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, man ahya sunnati in the fasad al ummati. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that at that time when the world will have forgotten my sunnah, that this is ibadah, whoever adopts that ibadah worship, he will get the reward of 100 shaheed. Subhanallah. So we are ashamed today of keeping the beard, and we think that we are rightful owners of paradise. And when somebody tells us, explains to us, advises us, we criticize him, we're upset. Who are you to tell us? We say. But subhanallah, the person who's speaking, subhanallah, that he is in need himself, but out of sympathy and regard, he's advising us that do this, it's good if you do this. He's doing us a favor if he's explaining to us or reminding us. So we, subhanallah, what's happened to us, that Allah Ta'ala has given us a vast open playing field. Maut is there in front of us, death is waiting for us, our grave's been dug, everything's ready. We could leave this earth world any time, but we are ghafil, we are negligent. Tell me, how sad. But the person, alhamdulillah, who's gone towards the akhirah, who has the fikr of the akhirah, then Allah Ta'ala says that I will take away the fikr of the dunya from that person. So when the dunya of the fikr, when the fikr of the world decreases, and he says, oh, I don't want to leave my salah congregation, I've got to go on jamaat, I've got to get up tomorrow morning for fajr, I've got to recite, and I've got to do this. When these concerns develop in a person, he's scared, or he's afraid, or he's cautious, concerned, time for dhuhr is coming, oh, I can't leave that, and he starts to sweat, dhuhr time's coming, or fajr time, salah time's coming. So when that feeling is developed, this is called fikr akhirah, worry for the akhirah, concern for the hereafter. When a person develops these emotions, feelings, then good news for that person, Allah says, don't worry, then the concern for the world I have taken from you, I will take over. Allah says, and becomes mutama'in, satisfied. You know, when he becomes ill, where will I eat from, where will I do this from, becomes so mutama'in, people are surprised. He has no worry. Don't know, he's not worried about where he's going to give the bills, how's he going to make the children study. He says, no worries, my salah shouldn't be sacrificed. There are people like this in the world, there are, you will see them, and this is called fikr akhirah, worry for the hereafter. Allah says that don't, when you develop this concern and worry for the hereafter, Allah says, then I will take over your concern for the world. You will never become mad, you won't commit suicide, you will depart this world satisfied. Whatever I give to you, you will embrace it, and you will sleep with ease, happy. When you go to your bed, you'll have no fikr, no worry, you'll have just one worry, that I need to get up in the morning, pray tahajjud, and when I need to get up quickly for prayer in the morning. And this is the life that we should have. And how many people have this life? Tell me that always we're worried and concerned. So this fikr and worry, we need to develop. We need to turn towards this worry. And we need to increase this worry. So when a person has this worry and concern, then he wants to earn and make deeds that give reward for the hereafter. For those people, Allah Ta'ala says that I've opened the big playing field for you, that when you wear the kameez, your shirt, they will give you reward. How should we put the clothes on? How do we implement this action? What a great ilm. In hadith, in mishqat, in Abu Dawood, in Tirmidhi. Are these small kitabs? These aren't small kitabs that the ulama, the scholars, respected scholars study and become alims and scholars. These same things that I'm explaining to you, this is what's studied by scholars. And these aren't minor learnings. All the muhaddithin, the scholars of hadith, qala hadithana, we've heard this, it's been mentioned, he said this, he said this. All life long, that great kitabs, they have written based on what I'm telling you, that how should we wear the clothes? Say subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. So have we understood the importance? That how important it is to wear clothes? Imam Malik, Imam Abu Dawood, Muhaddithin, they are worried, concerned. That how should we wear the clothes? Rawayat, narrations, Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullahi Ulama Ikram, the respected scholars are present here. They ask them that how this knowledge has been disseminated. This is what they study. What else do they study? Do they study medicine? No, this is what they study. This is what they read. And when they study, when the teacher is teaching them, then their hearts are enjoying the education. They're really enjoying and rejoicing. What thawab we're earning. And the ilmuling, but today, like animals, whatever clothes we get hold of, we put them on, we take them off from away. The clothes do the dhikr of Allah. Your clothes do the dhikr of Allah. And as long as white clothes are on your body, why? Because the Prophet ﷺ liked white clothes. And we have a choice. It's not compulsory, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I like this color. So when he preferred that color, then that color says that whoever wears me white clothes, then I will do tasbih for that person. I will praise Allah on behalf of that person. That's why I stated that even the deceased people should be given the cloth wrapped around them. For example, in Hajj, we wear ihram. Who said that you can't wear green ihram? Is it forbidden? Who said we can't wear different clothes of ihram? It's not fard that you have to wear white cloth in ihram. Why? Because we know that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preferred white cloth. So he stated that wrap your deceased in white. So subhanAllah, that's why the cloth for the deceased is white. So one haji you will not see wearing a different color. They all wear the same color. And there, so many people there, then the life of the mu'min, all life long, he should wear the white clothes and nothing else should be on the body of the person. He should prefer him so much. Why? Because when we wear the white clothes will do this for us. If you wear another cloth, color of cloth, it won't do this for us. So the fikr akhirah says that, forget that, I like green, I like other clothes. Sometimes I'll wear them at home and take them off. And I will fulfill my desire. Okay, black is good, etc. But the person should be satisfied. He should utilize those things more that give more benefit to the person for the akhirah, for the hereafter. That's what we should do more. That the tasbih is doing the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. So will we wear this cloth, brothers? This color cloth? Yes, inshallah. So, tasbih. The cloth, when we wear it, it does tasbih for us. It praises Allah on our behalf. So wearing clothes, there's a tariqah and method. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, he put the clothes on, his methodology. The scholars of hadith recorded this. They commentated on this, explained this. And we should do amal on this. We should practice this. Ibn Sunan, in Sunan Abu Dawud, there's a hadith in my site. He stated that when we wear clothes, when we put on a qameez, for example, then always we should put the clothes on first from the right side, from the right arm. Because the Prophet ﷺ, maybe he looks minor detail, but because shaitan has taken these points out of our mind, he has eliminated such a great act of worship. Quickly put your clothes on, quickly get to salah. No, make it a habit. Impossible that I will wear my clothes in another way. Start from the right side, so put the clothes on from the right side. Right arm on first, put the shalwar on, put the right leg in first. So when you put clothes on, start from the right side. When you put the jacket on, start with the right side, right arm. Cardigan, put the right arm in first. Whatever clothes you put on, start from the right side of the body. When you take the clothes off, then you go in reverse. First, take the clothes off from the left side. Take your shoes off, left shoes off first. Take your clothes off, left arm, left limb, whatever limb it is. So, what a minor point, maybe outwardly, but a massive learning. And when we're doing this action, don't consider it small. Don't consider it minor. The Prophet ﷺ said, be cautious, never consider it minor. If you do this action, then straight away stop and praise Allah. When you do good actions, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi kasani. Oh Allah, all praise belongs to Allah, the one who clothed me. Kasani. Allah, you gave me this blessing that I put these clothes on in that way that you prefer, that you like. And alhamdulillah, this is such a great dhikr. All of the space between the heavens and the earth fills with this dhikr when you recite this. You haven't done a minor action, have you? What a great action that we cannot see. Allah Ta'ala has given us a kalima, that you've done such a great action, that lazim, you need to praise me and do my dhikr. Alhamdulillahilladhi kasani. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Min ghayri hawlim minni wala quwwa. What a great dua. Alhamdulillahilladhi kasani. Hadha wa razaq. Min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. Allah, without any effort, without any methodology of my own, without any power of my own, Allah, I needed planning for this, I needed to try for this hard, I needed power, energy. But you've made me do such a great action, big action. How have you made me do this action, Allah? I'm so grateful to you, my Mawla. This is your great mercy and blessing upon me. That Allah, you made me, you clothed me with this cloth, and you gave it to me without any power and ability from me. Amazing. I could never do this action, but if we do this and recite this, Allah will forgive all of the sins from the life due to this action. Is there any ibadah that can give this guarantee? Tell me. Well, alhamdulillah, won't we regret in the hereafter? Won't we? All our life, that thousand times at least we must have from our young age, youth, taken our kameez shirt off, or our pyjamas or shilwars off, or taken off jackets and put jackets on, or put our kameez on, taken them off. But we never considered that this is ibadah worship. Today, how much reward we have wasted, we should have attained. And not one square millimeter of space should be on our body, should be a sin remain. So after today, brothers, we need to be cautious. We need to consider this as ibadah, great ibadah. Allah has given us tawfiq, ability, that this dua that we're doing, that if we can't remember it now, then okay, recite it in the night. That Allah, all praise to you, without my power, any ability from my side, any work from my side, that without any of this, you allowed me to wear the cloth. Great mercy of you upon me, Allah. I praise you, alhamdulillah. And before you even complete this dua, Allah will remove the dua, the sins. This is hadith, all sins forgiven. So brothers, today this sunnah came into my mind. Alhamdulillah, let's pray to Allah. That Allah, things like this are in our minds, but shaitan doesn't like for us to implement this. Our nafs, he makes us overwhelm ourselves with our nafs and desires. So after today, we need to promise that doesn't matter what happens, in all circumstances, we're going to put our clothes on in this way and take our clothes off correctly. And if we make a mistake in a rush, then what should we do? Then take the clothes off again and put them on again. That Allah, I overlooked this action, I wasted this opportunity. No, I need to put my clothes on and take the kameez off, take your shilwar off, logaman off, take the clothes off and go mad for a few seconds. Allah likes that sort of action. MashaAllah, he's got love for me. For my Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by Allah, that if these actions, we are steadfast on these actions, then I say that the friendship of Allah is not far. This is the friendship of Allah. And this is how a person becomes a ghawth, and this is how a person becomes a kutab. My brothers, I tell you, this is the tariqah. And no, how did he become waliyallah? Maybe he stayed awake all night long. Maybe he did these actions. Maybe he did umrah this many times or hajj. No, the lives of the walis of Allah, I've spent my whole life in their company. I swear by Allah, these are the so-called minor actions in their lives, but every second and toss and turn of their life, every turn, every footstep of their life is according to the lifestyle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their face, their appearance, their libas, their attire, their walking, earning their money, all lifelong they consider that the greatest ibadah worship is this, following, imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they don't do this, they consider that their deeds are in the mind. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like a life without the imitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say that we are obedient to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are yours, so how can it be that we don't follow his way? Everything Allah Ta'ala has given a guarantee. Subhanallah. So brothers, this is the shaitan who runs after us. No, these are my actions. We run towards tahajjud. We put the kameez on the way we want. We put the shoes on the way we want. We take them off the way we want. We come into the masjid. Imagine. And we take the shoes off like mad people. We don't have manners of how to take the shoes off, how to place them, how to wear them. No adab, no manners. That there should be no difficulty putting the shoes on. There shouldn't be hair or there. No caution. No regard, no due regard for others. This is not what counts in life. We should have adab, methodology, manners, behavior according to Sharia and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's pray to Allah. Allah Ta'ala gives us all the ability and capability and tawfiq. Ameen. And we are now in the very blessed days of Shawwal, the days of Hajj. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, ability, capability to do dhikr in these nights. And remember, dhikr, remembrance of Allah, dhikr is the, you could say, the jewel, dhikr is the jewels of Hajj. It's the spirit of Hajj, the soul of Hajj, the treasure of Hajj. So Allah's karam, the morning and evening, 3 months in advance, we've started this work. So let's do dua to Allah. Allah keeps us steadfast on the path of dhikr. Brothers, morning and evening, be steadfast in dhikr. These are the days of Hajj. These are the days of Hajj. All of these days with the love, everybody together do jahir dhikr, loud dhikr, so our ruh, soul and spirit is happy as well. Recite Durood Sharif.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidina Mursaleen. Shafi'i al-Muslimin. Taha wa Yaseen. Al-Habib al-Amin. اے میرے مولا ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے اے میرے مولا ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہم پہ تو رحم فرما یا اللہ تو ہم پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ تو ہم پہ رحم فرما اے میرے مولا تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے میرے مولا تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے میرے مولا تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا اللہ ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما اے میرے مولا ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما یا اللہ جہنم سے نجات نصیب فرما یا اللہ جہنم سے نجات نصیب فرما یا اللہ جہنم سے نجات نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا سارے کام ہمارے بہتر کر دے یا اللہ سارے کام ہمارے بہتر کر دے یا اللہ سارے کام ہمارے بہتر کر دے ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما ہمارے رزق میں برکت نصیب فرما ہمارے بیماروں کو شفا نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا غیب کے خزانے سے ہمت مدد فرما یا کریم ہم پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ ہم پہ رحم فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے لواحقین کو بخش دے اے میرے مولا ہمارے مشائخ کرام کے درجات کو بلند فرما دے یا اللہ پوری امت کو بخش دے اے میرے مولا آج کے ہمارے ذکر کو قبول فرما یا اللہ جو بھی دعائیں اس میں مانگی میرے مولا تو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وعالیہ صحابہ ازواجہ ذریاتہ اہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.